Okay, we're beginning here with the Gemara on the top of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph by the two dots. Sibailuhu, Gemara queries, Mahu lahaskir shel Chanukah bebirkat hamazon. Does one need to make mention of Chanukah when they go to bench when they are saying birkat hamazon? Now, the right away, the Balei HaTosafot ask over here, why is the Gemara jumping back to the topic of Chanukah? Why isn't this question and what we're going to discuss here on the daf today consolidated with the other Gemarot that we discussed before about Chanukah? Why do we have the inyan of Shemen Sreifa that interrupted it? We went back to the Mishnah, discussed Shemen Sreifa, and also now we're coming back to Chanukah again. The Balei HaTosafot leave it as its Archeon. The Ritva suggests that the issue of Shemen Sreifa is not solely relegated to Shabbat, but is also relevant when Chanukah falls out on Shabbat. And that way he thinks that maybe there's a possible connection between the two, although it's not as smooth as why the Gemara just doesn't continue topically with Chanukah in the earlier sugyot. But the Gemara has a question here with regards to the mentioning of Chanukah al Nisim in benching. And the two tzadim are Kevin Demidrabananhu Lormad Kirinan. Since the whole holiday or the institution of Chanukah is only rabbinic in nature, therefore we do not mention it. Or because of the impetus to publicize the miracle, maybe we would mention it in benching because that would help to accomplish more Persumei Nisa. Now, it's clear that the Gemara assumes that in davening you would clearly mention Al Nisim in Shmoneh Esrei. It's only a question with regards to Birkat HaMazon. And the question is, why is it so obvious to the Gemara that davening includes Al Nisim? And benching has the question. So Rashi on the top here says, B'tfilah pshitolan, when it comes to davening, it's straightforward to us, Sherei lahalel ulahoda'a nikve'u. Because the point of Chanukah is halel and hoda'a, and therefore it's properly placed, or it makes sense to place it in Shmoneh Esrei. That is what Rashi said back on Daf Chaf Aleph. Rashi defined when the Gemara stated that the Chazal instituted in Megillat Tanit that they were kavum the halel v'hoda'a, that they established the days of Chanukah for halel and hoda'a. Rashi says halel was likrota halel, and hoda'a was lomar al nisim, to say al nisim. So if that's part of the Ikar institution, that to say Al Nisim, there must be a place where you do say Al Nisim. And so the assumption is, or what Rashi notes over here, is that that happens in Shmoneh Esrei. And therefore it was a given that Al Nisim was going to be said in Shmoneh Esrei because of the demand for Halel Behoda. The question is, benching, which is not a mandatory part of Chanukah, because you don't have to have a Su'uda. You don't have to wash and bench on Chanukah. There, do you need to add in Al Nisim as well? That's the nature of the question. The Balei HaTosafot frame it more along the lines of the Persumei Nisa, and that is that the question over here is by Tefillah, which is done B'tzibur. There, it's obvious that there's Persumei Nisa, and therefore, of course, you would include Al Nisim in davening. The question arises with regards to Birkat HaMazon, which one does in their privacy of their home, or which involves smaller groups of individuals generally. Therefore, maybe there's no need to say Al Nisim because there's no aspect of Persumei Nisa. The way that the Gemara frames the question might relate to the nature of Tefillah versus Birkat HaMazon. And that is, the question here is, because Birkat HaMazon maybe is Doraita and the holiday of Chanukah is only Midrabanan, maybe it'd be a problem rabbinically to insert Al Nisim into benching, into Birkat HaMazon, which is Doraita. Or maybe the impetus of Persumei Nisa overrides that hesitation to add something rabbinic to benching. On the other hand, when it comes to Tefillah, Tefillah is Derabbanan. And since it's Derabbanan, Derabbanan can establish or they can institute what they want inside of davening because of the fact that it's also rabbinically ordained. And since both of them are rabbinic injunctions, you can have Al Nisim be placed in davening without any question because Persumei Nisa will obviously trump. Whereas by benching, where you have the mitigating factor of it being Doraita, maybe they were more reluctant to include it in benching. So from the frame of the question that the Gemara sets up over here, that might also be the difference between Birkat HaMazon and davening. So Amar Rava, Amar Rav Schora, Amar Rav Huna, Einu Maskir. You don't have to mention it. Fim Bala Haskir. But if you do want to mention it, Maskir B'Hoda'a, then the proper placement or the proper insertion that you would make is during Hoda'a, in the bracha of Nodeh Lecha, just like we do that in tefillah, in davening, it's inserted in the bracha of Atov Shimcha Ulechaneh Leodot in bracha of Modim, because that's a place of Hoda'ah. So to in benching, the proper location for Al Nisim would be Hoda'ah. As Rashi says over here, Da'akula milta de Chanukah ikra le Hoda'ah nitkana, that the entire purpose of Chanukah, as Rashi said before, was for Hallel v'Hoda'ah. That's to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, it only makes sense to put it in the brocha of Hoda'ah. Now, it's interesting here that the way that Rava phrases it is that Enu Maskir, as Rashi notes over here, is Enu Tzorich Laskir. You don't have to mention it, but one does have the option to mention it. Interestingly enough, the Hagot Mamoniot brings or quotes from the Rav Yah that he says that Kevin Shenagu Olam Laskir Chanukah B'Birkat HaMazon. Once the minhag came for people to mention Chanukah B'Birkat HaMazon, Naseh Davar K'Chova Gemura. Then it became like a Chova. He is patterning this after what is said with regards to Arvit Ma'ariv, where we had discussion as to whether it's a Chova Reshut. The Gemara's conclusion is that it is a Reshut. But then the Rishonim note that even though it's a Reshut, Kiblu Alehem. People accepted it. People davened on a regular basis Ma'ariv. And therefore it became like a chova that they accepted. And the Rav Yoh formulates a similar idea with regards to the statement here with regards to Birkat HaMazon. And therefore he suggests that im shachach, if you forget it, tzarich lachzor levarich, then you have to go back and bench again and say the bracha again because it's become like a chova. Many question that logic of the Rav Yoh, including the Emek Brocha, who notes that it's very hard to say, first of all, that you were kavel alav v'chova. We're not speaking about davening. We're not speaking about korbanot, where you can speak about the acceptance of something that's voluntary to become a chova, like you do by a tefillah, as opposed to here where you're speaking about benching. In addition, if a person makes a mistake in davening, and then we require them to daven again, you can always claim that it's a tefillat nedava, if there's some problem with davening again. By Birkat HaMazon, if you claim a person has done something that requires them to repeat Birkat HaMazon, if it's the wrong thing to do, then it becomes a bracha levatala. There's no option for a tefillat nedava, or a benching b'nedava. And so they're very circumspect about this view of the Rav Yoh. And obviously it's not accepted the halacha because we do include alanisim in benching, but if you miss it, one does not have to repeat benching if they don't say alanisim in benching. Rav Huna bar Yehuda iklo the Beit Rava. So Rav Huna bar Yehuda went to visit the Beit Midrash or the house of Rava. Savarled gure bebonei Yerushalayim. He thought the proper place to insert the alanisim was in bonei Yerushalayim. Amar lehu Rav Sheshet kitfilah. Rav Sheshet said back to him, or said to them, why would you include it in Bonei Yerushalayim? It should be no different than Shmon Esrei. Ma tefillah behoda'ah. Just like in tefillah you add into the bracha of modim, at Birkat HaMazon behoda'ah. So too, with regards to Birkat HaMazon, one would add it in the same bracha, or the same thematic bracha, which is hoda'ah, which is no delecha. So he thought to add it into Bonei Yerushalayim, because that's where we add in Yalev Yavo. And as Rashi notes over here, that's the proper place to add it in, because that's a place where you're mevakesh rachamim al Yisrael v'Yerushalayim, to bring back the avodah. And therefore, it would be appropriate to mention Yalev Yavo about items or issues where we're making requests of Hashem. And that's why the Baal Tosafot point out there's a difference between Al Nisim and Yalev Yavo. Yalev Yavo is a tefillah. It is a request. It is mentioning the fact that we want to return to the former days and bring those korbanot that are appropriate on the holidays and do aliyah the regel. So therefore, Yalev Yavo belongs inside of Bonei Yerushalayim, because it's also a tefillah. Whereas by the Alanisim, which is not a tefillah, but an hodah, that belongs in the bracha of hodah, but that has reflections in davening as well, which is that in davening, we add in the Yalev Yavo in the bracha of Ritzei, in the bracha of Avoda, because again, topically, it is related. Whereas by Alanisim, we add it into the bracha of Hoda. And that's why Rav Sheshet pointed out that in benching, it should be no different, that the place in Me'ino Ma'orah, or the Yalev Yavo, should be consistent that which we do in davening, which is, it's in an area where we're requesting, or asking for Rachamim, and a return to the former state of Avoda, in Yerushalayim, and Al Nisim should be found in the same place like it is in Yudchet, just like it's found there in Birkat HaHoda'ah, so too by benching. Now the Gemara asks, Ibalu, Malo Azkir Rosh Chodesh beBirkat HaMazon. There's one mentioned Rosh Chodesh in Birkat HaMazon, and the question is formulated in the following manner. Im Timtza Lohumar beChanukah deRabbanan lo tzorich. If you say beChanukah, which is only rabbinic in nature, you don't need to say it there. There's no necessity to say it in benching. Rosh Chodesh deOraita tzorich. Rosh Chodesh, which is Doraita, which is a Torah-required holiday, then maybe that should be included. So again, going back to what we said previously, maybe by benching, which is d'oraita, there to add in a rabbinically ordained holiday would be inappropriate. But Rosh Chodesh, which is something that's min haTorah, maybe that would be appropriate to be added into benching. O Dilma, kevin d'lo asur b'asiyat melacha, lo midkarinan. Or maybe Rosh Chodesh doesn't rise to the level of something that is considered me'ina ma'urah, and therefore you would not include it in benching because it doesn't have an isur of asiyat melacha, as opposed to Yom Tov or Shabbat, which is asur b'asiyat melacha. Rosh Chodesh doesn't reach to that level, and since it doesn't reach to that level, maybe it's not qualified to be included in the benching. And as the Bali Tosfot asks over here, the Gemara in Megillah seems to suggest with regards to laning on different days, says, any day where extending davening or making the laning longer would cause people to go late to work, and the examples they give are Tani Tzibor, Tisha B'Av, there you only have three aliyot. On days that there's no Bitul Melacha La'am, where they're already taking off, or not going to work anyway, then they would add an additional aliyah. Kigon, Rosh Chodesh, V'cholo Shemoed, Korim Dalet. On those days you read four aliyot, you add additional from the laning because you're not going to impact or hurt the people's work because they're not going to work anyway. Which makes it sound like Rosh Chodesh does have an Easter Melacha associated with it. And similar with Chol HaMoed. Tosfot over here says that that is true. Mitzad HaMinhag. Midoraita, there's no Easter Melacha on Rosh Chodesh. And Midoraita, there's no Easter Melacha on Chol HaMoed. The reason that those 2 days have an Easter Melacha associated with them is because Minhag Alma, Shein Rigilim Lasot Melacha, was just a common practice that people didn't do Melacha. And that's why they're called by the Gemara and Megillah days that are not associated with Bitul Melacha. That's how Tosafot deals with the issue over here. In the Gemara and Megillah, Tosafot over there suggests a different answer, which is that with regards to men, there's no Isser Melacha on Rosh Chodesh. With regards to women, many of the women had a minhag to accept upon themselves. Made it Asur Melacha v'dishlo pirkun izmeyan b'maseh egel. Because they did not donate to the egel. Therefore, they were rewarded with the holiday of Rosh Chodesh, and therefore, many women had the practice, and some do today still have that practice, not to do melacha on Rosh Chodesh, and therefore, it's a day that is considered not to be bitul melacha. It's interesting because in their day, clearly, there were not the women who were in shul, and that was not the issue of bitul melacha, but Tosfot answers that in the Gemara Megillah, and then in the Gemara in Chagiga, Tosfot also speaks about Chol HaMoed, and mentions the fact that even though from the Gemara and Chagiga it makes it sound like the Isser Melacha on Chol HaMoed is the Oraita, nevertheless he believes that it is midrabanan, only rabbinic and not Torah prescribed, and therefore that's why we have certain heterim to do things like Davar Aved and other items on Chol HaMoed, and the Isser Melacha was a rabbinically ordained Isser Melacha in order to encourage the people to do the right thing or spend their time properly. When it comes to Chol HaMoed, that is in opposition to many other Rishonim, including the Ramban, many that believe that the Isser Melacha on Chol HaMoed is D'oraita, and even the Bali Tosafot in other places make such mention, that the Isser Melacha is D'oraita, it's just determined by the Rabbonon. It's a amorphous type of Isser Melacha, where the Torah granted the right to the Rabbonon. But either way, the Gemara here suggests with regards to Rosh Chodesh, and similarly in the Gemara in Arachin, it distinguishes Rosh Chodesh in this manner that it does not have Isser Melacha associated with it, or it's not maybe a Mikra Kodesh, and therefore, maybe it should not be included in benching. So Rav Amar Maskir, Rav says you do mention Yalav V'Yovel for Rosh Chodesh in benching. Rabbi Chanina, Amar Eino Maskir, Rabbi Chanina says you don't mention it. Amar Rav Zrika, Nakut Rabbi Yadech. The position of Rav is more correct in this situation, because the Koi Rabbi Yoshaya Kabatei, because you have a Braita from Rabbi Yoshaya, that supports that contention of Rav, the Tani Rebbe Oshaya, Yamim Sheish Ben Korban Musaf. There are days that have Korbanei Musaf, like Kegon Rosh Chodesh V'Cholo Shemoed, and those instances, Arvit V'Shachrit U'Mincha Mitpalel Shmoneh Esrei, you daven 3 times a day, and each of those instances, V'Omer Me'inom Me'orah Be'avodah, you add in Yalav V'Yovel in the Bracha of Ritzeh, as we noted before the reason for that, V'im Lo Amar Makzirin Oto. And if you miss it, you gotta go back, meaning that it's a failure in the Shmoneh Esrei. If you miss Yalav V'Yovel and Chol HaMoed or Rosh Chodesh, you need to return and daven again. Ve'im behem kedusha alakos. Those aren't days that require kiddush. Ve'yesh behem haskara b'birkat hamazon. And they do need to be mentioned when you are benching. So that is like Rav. which is that we do mention Yalav Yovo both on Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh when it comes to benching. You mention them in Yalav Yovo in the Brach of Bonei Yerushalayim. Yamim she'ein bahem Kurban Musaf, days that do not have a Kurban Musaf, Kagon, like Sheni v'Chamishi v'Sheni, like Monday, Thursday, V'Taniyot u'Mamadot. On Monday, Thursday, Yulein, which makes them a unique day, but it's nothing really special about those days, and the Gemara asks that in a second. V'Taniyot, fast days, where you have the addition of Anenu into Shmon Esrei, and Mamadot, which were the rotating Mishmarot that they had for the Kohanim, who used to work up in the Mikdash, the Levi'im, that used to be a part of the Avodah in the Mikdash, and the parts of Klal Yisrael that used to fast and lane, as described in the Gemara in Ta'anit, be the representatives of Bnei Yisrael with regards to the Korbanot and the Korban Tamid. So those days, there are, we'll see in a second, unique things associated with them, but first the Gemara says, Sheni v'chamishi, I would tell you, what's so unique about Monday and Thursday that you have to mention something in particular in your Shmon Esrei? Ella, Sheni v'chamishi v'sheni, Monday, Thursday, Monday, Shel Ta'aniyot u'mamadot. We're referencing over there the days of the Taniyot, which are mentioned in the Gemara and Tanit, as to the sequences of fast days that they have for the rain. So Monday, Thursday, Monday is a sequence. We're referring to the Taniyot. It's modifying the Taniyot. It's not separate from the Taniyot. And the Mamadot. In those instances, Arvit v'shachrit u'mincha mitpalel shmon esrei, you daven three times a day, v'omer me'ina me'ora. And in that case, you add in something unique to the day, which is b'shomeya tefila. And that's the addition of Anenu in shomeya tefila. And that addition of Anenu on shomeya tefila is done by all three tefilot, Arvit, Shachrit, u'mincha. V'imlo amar, if you miss Anenu, en machzirin oto, then you don't have to return, meaning that you don't have to daven Shmon Esrei. Again, it's not a failure in the Shmon Esrei. Vein bahem kedusha lakos, whether that belongs in the girsa or not, it's not clear, but they clearly don't have any kiddush. But if you're fasting, obviously there's no kiddush. Vein bahem haskarav bebirkat hamazon. And they have no mention in birkat hamazon, which would also somewhat be obvious because it's a tanit, it is a fast day. Now, with regards to this, is a very important Rashi over here who quotes the Geonim, which is that based on this Gemara, it would seem that you would say Anenu in all three tefillot. And that has two interesting aspects to that. First of all, today, when we say Anenu, we only say it in Mincha on a fast day. Over here, it would have the requirement to say it Arvit, Shacharit, and Mincha. That's number one. Number two is, there are a number of fast days that are not 24 hours. There are fast days that only begin in the morning, and we fast during the daytime. We don't fast at night. And that's interesting, because then we'd be saying Anenu, Biyom Tzom Tanitenu, that Hashem should answer us on this fast day, even though we're not fasting at nighttime, because you eat at night, and you're going to eat after you daven Ma'ariv at night, until the morning when the fast day begins. So Rashi over here notes that, but he says that that's okay, because once the day enters, it is a day of Ta'anit, and so therefore, since it's a day of Ta'anit, it's appropriate to say a tefillah of Ta'anit, even though one is eating at night. And he quotes the Gemarot, that seemed to support that contention that there is this idea of a Yom Ta'anit. It also might also be supported by what the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Be'er Halacha with regards to the Arba Taniyot, the Arba Tzomot that we have for the Churban HaBayit, excluding Tisha B'Av, which is a 24-hour fast, that the other Taniyot really should have been 24-hour fasts, and that it's appropriate to keep the Chamesh Dinuyim and to look at them as 24-hour fasts, even though that's not our practice, and even though we don't do that, they still have an aspect of that that is associated with them. Given that, it would also make sense to say, Anenu, at nighttime, even though we don't do that, and we don't fast at nighttime, but since, in theory, they should have been 24-hour fasts, and we should think of them with the Chamesh Dinuyim, like Tisha B'Av, therefore, maybe you would add in additional tefillah of Anenu at night, and similarly, with regards to the fasts of the rain, even though the earlier fasts are not 24 hours, the later fasts in those sequences are 24-hour fasts, and therefore the original ones also have an aspect of 24 hours to them, or Yom Tanit to them. That has implications with regards to the 3 weeks, which is when do the 3 weeks begin when it comes to Shiva Sarba Tammuz to Tisha B'Av. So you might have thought that it begins in the morning of the Shiva Sarba Tammuz, because that's when the fast day begins. But based on what we're seeing here in the Gemara, even though you only begin fasting in the morning, the Yom Tanit, or the day of Tanit, already starts on the night before. And that means that by the 3 weeks, they also start from the night before, even though you're not fasting, because it's already a Yom Tanit. And that has implications with regards to a machloket between Moshe Feinstein, who has a tshuva with regards to someone who was going to get married on Motzei Shabbat when Shiva Sarbatamuz was going to fall out on the Sunday, whether they can get married on that Motzei Shabbat. Moshe Feinstein in general dissuades somebody from doing that, says it's not a great idea, but in the end he says that there's a possibility that it might be okay. Rav Soloveitchik, on the other hand, felt that it was absolutely asur, and one could not do such a thing because of the fact that it's already a Yom Tanit on the night of before Tishiva Sar B'Tammuz, and because of that, there's no question that you can't get married that night, and it shouldn't even be a possibility. Not even a Shat Adchak would we allow someone to get married then, because it's clear that the 3 weeks have already begun, and especially, of course, in a situation where it's a Nidchet, there even Rav Moshe notes that if it was really Tishiva Sar B'Tammuz and Shabbat, and it was only Nidchet to Sunday, then clearly over there, it's already the 18th when you're fasting, and that already brings you into the 3 weeks. And therefore, just because you fast on the 18th doesn't mean that the Tishiva Sar B'Tammuz didn't start already from Shabbat, from the day that was the 17th. And so because of that idea of a Yom Tanit, it has influence on the way that we look at the night before the Tanit. And that's why you would say Anenu. Then Rashi notes over here that Sof Divrei Gaonim Kadvu, Aval Ein Anu Rigilim Lomar Arvit, Vafilu Shacharit. Then he brings from the Gaonim that our practice is not to say Anenu at nighttime, and not to say Anenu in the morning, and that is because Shemirelo Ones, Holy, O Bumus, the person might have some sickness or some hunger problem, Bit Om Klum, and then he'll have to break his fast, and it's a Shakran Bitfilato, and then you'll be found to be a liar in your davening, because you say biyom tzom taniteinu in anenu. Now one solution to that is to say biyom ze instead of yom tzom taniteinu, and that would avoid some of this problem, because then you wouldn't necessarily be lying in your tefillah. But we see here, of course, that being truthful in front of Hashem is very important. We have this in other places, like the Gemara in Baba Batra with regards to Bikurim over there, which says that if a person comes to say Mikra Bikurim before a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that he better have the necessity and the right to say it, because when you come before Kodesh Baruch Hu, you can't come and say false things before Hashem. You can't just make up things or present things for Hashem. And similarly, when it comes to tefillah, we're very makpid that whatever a person says is truthful and is honest, because you're standing before God. And when you're standing before God, we don't play games, we don't say things that maybe or maybe not. We say things that are only truthful when we stand before Kodesh Baruch Hu, because that's the only appropriate thing to do. And so over here, by Anenu, they were very wary of having people say Anenu at night and in the morning because of the possibility that they might break their fast. Despite that fact, as the Baal Tosafot will point out, the practice was that the Shliach Tzibur does say it in Shacharit, even though the Yachid does not say it in Shacharit, and that's because, as the Baal Tosafot will point out, there's got to be somebody in the community that's fasting and will make it all the way through. So for the Shatz to say it in Shacharit is not a problem, because there's at least somebody in this minion, at least somebody in this group that's going to make it all the way through. But for any individual to say it, we won't let them say it until they're certain that they're going to make it through the fast. And by the time Mincha rolls around, we're pretty far through the fast that we assume people will make it to the end. And that's why we only say, or our practice is only to say Anenu at Mincha time, even though, based on the Gemara here and what, as Rashi describes over here, the proper time to say it is in all three Tfilot Hayom, because it is a Yom Ta'anit. So now the Gemara continues and says, Ibayluhu, Mahu Laskir Shel Chanukah B'Musafim. Do you have to mention Al Nisim in Musaf during Chanukah? Well, obviously Chanukah doesn't have a Korban Musaf associated with it, but Chanukah always coincides with Rosh Chodesh Tevet, and therefore there's always Musaf during Chanukah time. So the question is, Kaven Delei Be Musaf B'Didei Lo Matkarina. Since there's no Musaf on Chanukah, then there's no reason to mention it in the Tfilah of Musaf. Odilma Yom Shu Chayav Ba'arba Tfilot. Or do we say that it's a day that requires four tefillot, and it's a day of Chanukah, and since the day has four tefillot, whatever tefillah that you daven on that day will be associated with Chanukah, and therefore you're going to mention Al Nisim in it. Rav Huna v'Rav Yehuda d'Amrei Tavayu eno maskir. Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say that you do not mention it in Musaf, because Musaf and Chanukah have nothing to do with each other. Musaf is connected to Rosh Chodesh, and absent Rosh Chodesh, you wouldn't say Musaf, and therefore there's no reason to say Al Nisim in Musaf. Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan, Amrei Tarvayu Maskir. Rav Yochanan and Rav Nachman said we do mention Al Nisim in Shmon Esrei, like the second side of the question, which is that it's a day of four tefillot, but the day is a day of Chanukah. And so any tefillah you daven on that day is going to mention Al Nisim, which is the practice that we have. Amar Abaye the Rabbi Yosef, Hadi Rav Huna Rabbi Yehuda deravhu. The source for Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna's position really derives from a position of Rav. Damar Rav Gidol Marav. So Rav Gidol Marav tells us, Rosh Chodesh Chaliyo B'Shabbat, when Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh coincide, Hamaftir B'Navi B'Shabbat, Inu Tzarechich La'azkir Shal Rosh Chodesh. When you do the maftir on Shabbat, you don't need to mention Mekadesh Yisrael V'Roshei Chodoshim. You only mention Mekadesh HaShabbat. And that is because Shimalei Shabbat Ein Navi B'Rosh Chodesh. The only reason you lay off Torah is because it's Shabbat. You don't lay off Torah because it's Rosh Chodesh. Had it been Rosh Chodesh during a weekday, there would be no off Torah. So the only reason there's off Torah is because of Shabbat, and therefore you only make the bracha on Shabbat. So the assumption being that that's similar to our case. The impetus for Musaf on Rosh Chodesh is Rosh Chodesh and not Chanukah, and therefore you don't mention Chanukah. Similar to what happens by the Haftorah, where the Haftorah is because of Shabbat, not Rosh Chodesh, and therefore you only mention Mekadesh Shabbat, you don't mention Mekadesh Yisrael, V'Roshei Chodoshim. Even though, interestingly enough, the Maftir on such a situation of Shabbat that coincides with Rosh Chodesh is the Maftir of Rosh Chodesh, and the Haftorah is topically of Rosh Chodesh, nevertheless, the Brocha is only Mekadesh Shabbat. It says, Midami, how can you compare those cases? Hotam Navi Bidrosh Chodesh Leka Klau. When it comes to Haftorah, there's no Haftorah in Rosh Chodesh ever. Rosh Chodesh is just not a day of Haftorah. Hocha Ita Be'arvit V'Shacharit U'Mincha. By Al Nisim, you're going to say it in the other three Tfilot Ayom. Just not going to say it, or possibly not going to say it in Musaf. How do you connect those two together? It's a very different situation. Over there, Rosh Chodesh is totally void of anything to do with Haftorah. That's not true by Al Nisim. Al Nisim will be mentioned in all the other Shemoneh Esrei of the day, so maybe it should be mentioned in Musaf. Elaha Damyo. It's more similar to another member of Rav. Damar Rav Ad Chodvai, Amar Rav Matna Amar Rav. So another member from Rav, Yom Tov Shechaliyot B'Shabbat. When Yom Tov and Shabbat coincide, Hamaftir B'Navi B'Mincha B'Shabbat. When you do a Haftorah at the time of Mincha on Shabbat, Ein Tzarich Azkir Shel Yom Tov. You don't have to mention Yom Tov over there. Shemalei Shabbat in Aviv B'Mincha. Because had it not been for Shabbat, there would be no laning of Haftorah or Navi in Aviv B'Mincha B'Yom Tov. At Mincha and Yom Tov time, there's no such concept. There is Haftorah on Yom Tov. And since there's Haftorah on Yom Tov, when Yom Tov and Shabbat coincide, then we do say Mekadesh Shabbat V'Yisrael V'Hazmanim. Because they both would have triggered the Haftorah, and therefore the Bracha on Haftorah includes both of them. But by Mincha time, where the Haftorah is only generated by Shabbat, and there's no Haftorah by Yom Tov time, there's no requirement to mention Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim, only Mekadesh HaShabbat by Navi and Mincha time. So now what's interesting about this is, where have we ever never heard of such a practice of laning Haftorah by Mincha time? And actually it's an explicit Gemara in Megillah that there is no Haftorah by Mincha time, because it says there, B'Sheni B'Chamishi B'Shabbat, on Mondays and Thursdays on Shabbat by Mincha time, when you lane Korim Shlosha, you have three Aliyot, you lane the Torah, Vein Maftirim B'Navi, and there's no Haftorah. So why is the Gemara over here suggesting that there is Haftorah by Mincha time? So the Rabbeinu Tam over here answers that this is speaking about the Hocha Hainu Ktuvim. The Navi over here is not the Navi, but the practice to read the Ktuvim at Mincha time on Shabbat. That's a practice that the Gemara mentions in a number of places. First of all, the ban on reading Ktuvim in general on the afternoons, because they didn't want people to get caught up in it and miss the drush of the Rav, or not want to come for the drush of the Rav. But then they did lane in shul, or they did lane at Mincha time from the Ketuvim. And so that's what the Rabbeinu Tam suggests. The Gemara is mentioning over here, it doesn't really literally mean Navi. It means Ketuvim, but they're calling it Navi because it's similar to the Haftorah. That's an addition from outside the Torah that we add on to the laning of the day. And that's what's mentioned in the Gemara Megillah, speaking about Navi proper, and that's not said at Mincha time, or the Haftorah doesn't come for that at Mincha time. That's the Rabbeinu Tam's suggestion. Others suggest that it was a common practice to lane a Haftorah or Haftorah to Nechamot by Mincha time on Shabbat, but the practice was annulled or eliminated during some of the persecutions in the Babylonian Persian times. And once it got eliminated, that's what the Gemara Megillah is saying, is that they no longer had Haftorah or Navi by Mincha time. Although there were some, what seems like some small communities or a number of communities that still had the original practice, either because it was never suppressed there or because they went back to doing the old practice. And that's what the Gemara seems to be referencing to over here, that there is a Navi that's read at Mincha time. And again, the practice was only associated with Shabbat and not Yom Tov. So this is much more similar to our case now, which is that on Yom Tov you do have enough Torah. It just happens to be at Mincha on Yom Tov you don't have enough Torah. And there when you lane for Shabbat, they have Torah, you only mention Shabbat and not Yom Tov. And so that member of Rav is the source for what Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say is true by Chanukah as well. You will say Al HaNisim by the other three tefillot. When it comes to Musaf, you're not going to mention Al HaNisim. Now, the Baal Tosafot do note that the two memorot of Rav seem to be unnecessary. He says, first of all, by Yom Tov, on the afternoon time, you don't have to mention Yom Tov in Avtorah by Mincha time on Shabbat. And he also mentions that on Rosh Chodesh in the morning, you don't need to mention on Shabbat in the Avtorah Rosh Chodesh. And that seems to be a duplication. You could have just mentioned the din by Yom Tov, and obviously it would have been true by Rosh Chodesh. That's what the Baal Tosafot suggests over here. It's Chad Meichlal Chaverta. It wasn't two separate memorot of Rav. Rav only said it by the Haftorah, by Mincha time on Shabbat, that you don't mention Yom Tov. And from that, they also inferred that that would be true also on Rosh Chodesh by the Haftorah in the morning on Shabbat. And those two memorot together are then the source for Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna's position with regards to Chanukah. And the Gemara concludes, V'leit hilchata kocholchani shmaitato. The halacha is not like any of these memorot. The way Rashi explains it over here is, it's not like Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. It means that on Chanukah, where you have a Musaf, meaning on Rosh Chodesh of Chanukah, you do mention Al HaNisim in Musaf, which is our practice, and that was the way that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Nachman paskin. Just like one tefillah requires Al HaNisim, so do all the other tefillot of the day require Al HaNisim by Musaf. Rav Gidol over Rav Achudvai, and the two memorot here with regards to the Haftorot are also incorrect, and basically what Rashi is suggesting over here, the same is true with the Haftorah, that seemingly you would mention Rosh Chodesh on Shabbat in the morning, and you would mention Yom Tov in Shabbat in the afternoon when it comes to the reading of the Navi. The Baal HaTosafot disagree and say, Vomeri, Deloi Elolim no to Rav Gidol Bahadayu. Rashi shouldn't have mentioned that the rejection of Rav Gidol over here, because the memra that we're about to bring here from Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, similar to the situation by Chanukah, we do mention the Me'in HaMa'ora on a given day, no matter how many tefillot there are, but that doesn't necessarily require you or compel you to say that by the Haftorah that you have to mention Rosh Chodesh by the morning Haftorah by Shabbat, because there is no Haftorah on Rosh Chodesh whatsoever. And therefore that's our practice, as the Baal HaTosafot would suggest, and that's the way that we practice today, which is that we don't say by the Haftorah on Shabbat that coincides with Rosh Chodesh. We only mention Mekadesh Shabbat, not Mekadesh Shabbat Yisrael, Rosh Chodeshim. And if we similarly had a practice also to lane in the afternoon in Mincha time, that situation is much more akin to what we have by Al HaNisim on Chanukah, and therefore you might have said that the halacha is not like that as well. But since we don't have the practice to lane at Mincha time anyway, it's not relevant to us. And the reason that the halacha is not like Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna and Rav Chudvai, and according to Rashi, even like Rav Gidol, is because Ki Adam Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. Because of this member of Yom Shub and Levi, Yom Kippurim Shechal Yom Shabbat, when Yom Kippur and Shabbat coincide, Amit Palel Ni'ilah Tzarich Leskir Shal Shabbat. When you daven the fourth tefillah on the day of Yom Kippur, that's a tefillah that's only added because of Yom Kippur, not because of Shabbat. Despite that fact, you still have to add in about Shabbat. As Rashi says over here, that we have to say, V'tein lanu et Yom HaManoach Vet Yom HaKippurim Hazeh, and the Chatimah is Mekadesh Shabbat, and Yom HaKippurim. So Yom Hu Shnitchayev Barba Tfilot, it's a day that is Chayav in four Tfilot. Four Tfilot means during the day. There are five Tfilot if you include Ma'ariv. On the daytime, there are four Tfilot. And since it's a day that's Chayav in four Tfilot, every Tfilot of the day is associated with Shabbat. And therefore, you're going to mention Shabbat. Mar says, Kashe Hilchata, Ahilchata. Now we have a stira between different halachot. Amar Tilchata Rabbi Shua ben Levi. You're telling us the halacha is like Rabbi Shua ben Levi, which is influential with regards to Yom Kippur and Ni'ilah. It's also influential with regards to Al HaNisim during Musaf on Rosh Chodesh. But with Kaimalan, we also have the Hilchata Kerova. The halacha is also like Rova, Dama Rova, Yom Tov Shechal Yom B'Shabbat. In a case where Yom Tov and Shabbat coincide, Shliach Tzibor HaYored Lifnei HaTeiva Arvit, Enu Tzarich Lazkir Shel Yom Tov. The Shliach Tzibor, who does the quote-unquote Chazarat HaShatz at Mariv on the night of Shabbat, does not need to mention Yom Tov. The reference here is to after Shmona Esrei, what's called Me'ein Sheva, the small bracha that we have, and then Magen Avot that we say right after Shmona Esrei. What it's suggesting over here is when it falls out Shabbat and Yom Tov together, you only end that bracha with Mekadesh Shabbat. You don't add in Yom Tov. Shilmalei Shabbat, Ein Shliach Tzibur, Yoreid Marvit B'Yom Tov. That's because, had it not been for Shabbat, you wouldn't have that bracha of Me'ein Sheva. Bracha Me'ein Sheva is only associated with Shabbat, it's not associated with Yom Tov. Therefore, when they coincide, you only say Mekadesh Shabbat, not Mekadesh Shabbat, Yisrael Vazmanim, which seems to be in conflict or contradiction to what we just suggested here. It says, Achi Ashto, the cases are not comparable. Hotam b'din u'da filu b'Shabbat nami lo tzarich. Over there, even on Shabbat, you don't need to say the Birkat Me'ein Sheva, the Charat HaShat. Rabbonon hu didkuni mishum sakana. And the Rabbonon instituted it because of the quote-unquote dangers that were involved. As Rashi notes over here, mazikim, the things that could endanger the people or damage the people because their batei kenesiot were not inside of the settled areas or where people generally lived, but rather out in the field. So Rashi claims over here that in general during the weekdays, they wouldn't come and daven Maariv because they were busy working and they wouldn't have enough time to get out to the shul. They would daven Maariv at home. Whereas on Friday night, where they weren't working, there they had time to come out to the shul, and they were worried about, Yesh ein marim lavo v'shoim lachar tefila. Some people come a little late to shul, people who tarry a little bit, and then they would be in danger when everybody was leaving, and they'd be left behind. So therefore, they created a delay in the tefila, so those people could catch up, and those people could leave together with everyone else, and that's why they extended the tefila. It's a very similar reason that's given for the addition of Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen that's added in, according to many, in Maariv, also to extend the tefillah, so that those people that came late would not be left behind in a similar fashion. So first of all, that would then make an equation between the weekdays and Shabbat and say that people did attend Maariv on weekdays as well, but we have a different delay factor on the weekdays, which we don't have on Friday night, and therefore they needed to add something else in. Or, as we saw earlier in the Gemara in Brachot, there was many places had the practice to daven early on the weekdays, and that's why the Rishonim, and even in the Gemara, they're discussing the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda and the possibility of daven Maariv early because of this exact problem that they wanted to get back early before it fell dark, and it was dangerous for the individuals to come back, and therefore they daven early. But on Friday nights, where they were going to make Kiddush Hayom and where they had more time, maybe they delayed there and they davened a little later, and maybe that caused the differential, or again, the fact, the possibility that we do delay also on weekdays, and therefore the Gemara says that that's uniquely associated with Shabbat. When it comes to Yom Kippur that coincides with Shabbat, over there it's because the day is a day of four tefillot, it includes Ne'ilah, and the day with four tefillot now is on Shabbat, and therefore Shabbat is relevant to all the tefillot ha-yom. It's because it's a new concept, or the day of Yom Kippur generates four tefillot, and since it's a day of Shabbat, Shabbat gets mentioned in all the four tefillot, as opposed to the Birkat Me'ein Sheva, which is uniquely associated with Friday night, and not with Yom Tov. It seems like on Yom Tov, people didn't come late to shul, or they were anticipating it, they prepared early, and therefore they didn't need this delay tactic, and therefore it's not associated at all with Yom Tov. It's solely associated with Shabbat, and therefore it uniquely has a bracha, Mekadesh Shabbat, not Mekadesh Shabbat, Yisrael V'Hazmanim. Now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah, and at the end of the Mishnah, it says that the items that you're not allowed to light with are lo b'shem and kik, v'lo b'shem and tzreifa, v'lo b'alya, v'lo b'chelev. Nachum amadi omer, malikim b'chelev mivushal, v'chamim arim, echad mivushal, v'echad she'enu mivushal, ein malikim bo. As Gemara is going to note over here, you have the opinion of the Tanakhama, which says you can't light with chelev. Then you have Nachum amadi differentiating between chelev mivushal, which does light well, and chelev she'enu mivushal, which does not light well. And so then the Chachamim come along and say, there's no difference. You can't light with either one of them. And the Gemara notes over here that the position and Ayin Chachamim, Ayin Utanakamo, they're the same. Ikebenayu, the difference between them is the Bruna Amarav, the Lo Misayme. The difference between them is what we saw back in Daf Chalaf Aleph Amar Aleph, which is that Ravuna Amarav said if you add in good oil to the Chelev Mivushal, then even the Chachamim agree that you can use it or you can light it. And that is because the whole reason you can't use Chelev Mivushal is because Atu or Gzeira that you might use Chelev She'enu Mivushal. And then there's another Gzeira that if you add in good oils to an oil that's bad, we don't let you do that because you might come to use the oil by itself. But if you have one Gzeira, which is already that Chelev Mivushal is only problematic because She'enu Mivushal, if you add a good oil to it, we're not going to make a gzeira the gzeira. That's what Bruna Marab said over there. And therefore, if you add in olive oil to Chelev Mivushal, we will let you use it on Shabbat. So that's the distinction between these two opinions. One of them says that Bruna Marab is correct. And therefore, whether it is Mivushal or Enu Mivushal, you can't use it. But if you add an oil to the mivushal, we will let you use it. And the other opinion says, even if you add an oil, we won't let you use it. And that's the difference. Lo Misayimim, we don't know which one is which. We don't know which, whether it's the Tanakama or the Chachamim, that we're matir to put the other oil in the Chelev Mivushal or vice versa. We don't know which opinion is the one that says that both Enu Mivushal and Mivushal are problematic, even when you add oil into them. Even though, as the Baal Tosfot point out, that generally we say that the Tana Batra is the Osifei, that the latter Tana always comes to add, and that would suggest that the Chachamim are the ones who are adding the Iser over here. But since there are three Tanaim over here, you can't say that there's a Tana Batra that's coming to add, because they just might be responding to Nachum HaMadi, whereas the Tana Kama is already more Machmir, and the Chachamim are just responding to Nachum HaMadi. And given that, we don't know whether it's the Chachamim or the Tana Kama that's more Machmir in this case. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah in the middle of Chav Dalet Amud Bet.